Welcome to Jesus School of Disciple Makers. This is a spiritual growth and devotional series examining the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We focus on four areas, each beginning with a C, i.e. Christ, Church, Christian and Covenant, with special emphasis on the practical application of the principles Jesus taught. He said, "He who believes in me can do what I do," and even greater works in John 14:12. Greetings, my name is Arthur Dilley, and I trust you will enjoy going and growing on a spiritual journey with me as we walk in Christ's footsteps. Today we will look at the topic of which Jesus. A question for the church: which Jesus are we portraying and which Christianity? Paul told the church in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 4, "If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough." This is a challenge to all believers, either a fully biblical Jesus and biblical Christianity. Do you believe in this? Or a nominal, non-offensive, intellectual, powerless Jesus and soft Christianity, friendly to denominations and fringe groups whose teachings and faith is weak and powerless, where the Holy Spirit is a hopefully friendly, distant entity guiding our moral standards. As Jesus once stated to the Jews, "You don't understand the scriptures nor the power of God." Number two, selective exclusion of the power dunamis component of the Holy Spirit. The dynamics of the Holy Spirit of God is swept under the carpet, where it should be the central pivot to all teaching, preaching and proclamation, with demonstrations of the supernatural. Mark 16 verse 12 shows that signs, wonders, miracles, healings, deliverance will accompany those who believe. Furthermore, in Mark 16 verse 20, it states the Lord will work alongside us when we proclaim the good news with signs, wonders and miracles. Number three, the gift of God is Holy Spirit. Biblical Christianity must encompass the spirit life in all its facets as outlined in the Bible, with the understanding there is only one spiritual gift, that of the Holy Spirit of God, with a pre-programmed heavenly agenda to bring God's kingdom to earth, who is the essence of God's love. Number four, different facets or gifts. These are called gifts of His Spirit, such as in 1 Corinthians 12, which are merely tools given to all, specifically to minister Christ, to lost souls going to hell, and I wonder if we really believe that, and others under the burden of suffering, etc. These tools or gifts are never to be the object of our faith, but to administer life through the nuances of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those around us. Rather, their main object is to demonstrate the love of God in action. Number five, the law of heaven. Jesus warns us in Matthew 7 verse 21-22 that many will say they used all these gifts for healing, etc., but Jesus will cast them out into the darkness because their fruit was not in keeping with repentance, that they were lawbreakers of His law of love, and that they did not know or understand the will of God our Father. Only those who do the will of the Father will enter the heaven, and Jesus tells us, few are those who travel on the narrow road, Matthew 7 verse 13, and actually enter into heaven. Number six, doing the will of God. Surely then we are failing in our duty if we do not teach and espouse these principles of learning to do God's will through listening and obeying His Holy Spirit. This is the very center of our life in Christ, not just employing good moral values only, which most religions teach. Number seven, we need to make disciples and baptize them in the Holy Spirit so that they experience the river of living water that flows from our bellies, as stated by Jesus. Number eight, we ourselves need to be born again in order to do this. This will be discussed in another module. Power and authority are essential. Number nine, in Mark 9:23, Jesus said to them, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Number 10, John 14:12, "Whoever believes in me will do the works I do, and even greater." 11. Sadly, there are great multitudes of believers sitting in spiritually dead churches in many denominations who are not even aware of the supernatural dimension of heaven on earth, although the Bible is filled with evidence in the lives of the followers of Christ. This is because the leaders themselves have never experienced the dynamic and flow of God's Holy Spirit in and through them. The Bible is a closed book in the sense that wherever Jesus and His disciples mention the supernatural, it is selectively glossed over. These are the blind guides leading the blind, against whom Jesus warns. Number 12. A biblical disciple must have biblical characteristics such as Jesus, empowered in Luke chapter 9 and Mark 16, where power and authority are given over spirit beings, healing of the sick and so on. This type of Christianity always has and always will be evident in those who follow the way of the cross. This is no reference to certain charismatic groups where these phenomena take place and become the focal point of their ministry. This too is a travesty in the opposite dimension, which content cannot be discussed here. Paul warns Timothy to avoid those who have a form of godliness but deny his power. Here, the power is sought to do miracles without being filled with the source of the power, In other words, the Holy Spirit of God. Number 13, spiritual death. Many should be teachers. Many are the church members who are ignorant of the deeper things of the Spirit, because we and the churches they attend, and do they actually go to church, are themselves ignorant and afraid to offend those whose beliefs are so shallow as to be non-biblical, which grieves the Spirit of God. Hebrews 5:12 warns against people who should be teachers but are actually still spiritual children. We must be the agents to lead each and every member to Jesus in such a way that they can also say, like the woman at the well who led the townspeople to meet Jesus, "Now we know Jesus for ourselves, as we have also met him." Being Jesus to the world around us. Our lives must be where we live out a life of being Jesus to the world around us, filled and led by his Holy Spirit, directing us to heal broken hearts and bodies, to set free those in torment and bitterness, to impart to them a new life where they will find peace and joy, in spite of living in a troubled world, and disciple them to do the same. This topic will be dealt with in another module. In closing, next time we will be discussing your position in Christ. I pray that you'll be encouraged to grow in your knowledge and experience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as a disciple and a disciple maker. Arthur Dilley signing off till next time. DV, and God bless.